In June of 1974, something happened to you. That morning, you left for work.
I always went the same way every morning, down St. Louis to Utica Square area. Going down the street, this guy half a block ahead jumps out in the street with a stop sign, and he's got an orange jacket and a hard hat, just standing right in the middle of the street waving the sign. So I pull up to him and stop. He comes around to my window, and one of the things I'll never forget, he had a Band-Aid over his top lip and another one on his lower lip, just a Band-Aid. He said, there's a gas leak ahead, and you've got to stop until it clears. I said, okay. So I leaned over to turn off the ignition key, and I felt this cold gun in the back of my... He said, now do what I tell you, or I'm going to kill you. I said, well, look, I'll give you everything I have. He said, no, that isn't what I want. Just get over in the passenger seat. And I kind of climbed over there, and I said, do you know how to drive a Mercedes? He said, yes, I can handle it fine. So we go driving off. He said, keep your head down between your knees. I don't want you looking up. I don't want you looking at me. So we drive, and I didn't know it, but it was that underground parking we have there on the south side of Utica Square where the doctors parked. He must have gone way back in the corner and said, now get out. And he put me in another car. But before he put me in, he taped my hands, interestingly, in front of me and put a blindfold. I couldn't tell what it was, but it turned out to be a Roy Rogers mask, but he taped the eye things, put that across my face and taped it. Then pushed me in the back seat of his car. Thank goodness it wasn't the trunk, and taped my feet together. So I was laying on the floor, and he covered me up with something. It was a huge piece of material, so I kind of always thought it might have been a parachute or something. But anyway, just covered me up, and so we'd start driving on. And a few minutes later, he stops, and he said, now I've got to go in and get my accomplice, so there'll be the two of us. And he had told me during the drive, after he had put me in his car, I want $700,000. I'm going to call your dad. I said, look, my dad has had a heart attack recently. If you tell him this, there's no telling what will happen. He said, well, what do you think? I said, call the banker. That's who's going to have to put the money together for you. He'll be able to go over. He's across the street from dad. He'll be able to go over and soften the blow anyway. So he said, well, okay, I'll do that. So he called Dick Thompson, who was a good friend of mine. And I knew from being on the First National Board, that any threat to a bank, they immediately call the FBI. So I knew Vic would do that. He stopped for this accomplice, came down, starts talking to this guy. The guy never says a word. And I'm on the floor of the back seat, but he slams the passenger door like someone got in and drove off. And for 5 minutes, kept pretending he was talking. And I said, if there's somebody up there, I'd like to hear him say something. There wasn't anything. So the guy just dropped. He never said anything. He just never acknowledged that he had done that ruse. So he calls the office after I'd told him to give Vic time to get over there, call the office and ask for Dad. Dad knew all about it by then. He told him what he wanted, and he said, I'm going to give you an address I want you to go to, and there's a pay phone there. You go there, and I'll give you further instructions. So Dad wrote down the address. There were three FBI guys there by then. Within 3 hours, there were FBI from Kansas City, Wichita, Oklahoma City, Dallas, and Fort Worth. The guy that came up from Fort Worth was their sniper. Peggy was listening to all this on the radio with the boys. He said, what rifle do I want to bring and what scope? Because, you know, what distance? So anyway, Dad started out and got lost. The guy said to me, your dad hadn't shown up, and what does this mean? I said, look, he probably scared to death. Just call back to the office. So he calls back, and Dad's there. My secretary took the phone and said, Mr. Elmick is so upset by this, he couldn't find where you were. Would it be all right if I accompanied him and took him? He said, yeah, that's fine. So Isla, my secretary, went with Dad. They went to this first place, and there was a phone booth there, and Dad was wired by then by the FBI. So everything the kidnapper would tell him, Dad would repeat. So we sent him to a second place.
What places?
Different grocery stores where there was a pay phone booth. The second one, they had people stacked up around it because they figured the second one, if the same car came that came to the first one, the second one they had agents all around and spotted this car that had been at the first one. So they assumed that was the guy that had me. And they didn't know where I was, of course. So they start tailing him. So then he went to three more phone booths around town because they still didn't know where I was, and they wanted to try to find me before, because they said almost always these guys work with an accomplice, and they keep the kidnap where the accomplice is. And if they pick up the guy in the car, he'll say, look, you know, we'll kill him or something. So they, I guess, knew what they were doing. They said it was going to take some time to get $700,000 together because they wanted it in small bills. So we went out and parked someplace. And I talked to him. I said, look, there's one thing. I've got to get out of here by 6 because I've got a kid playing basketball. Finally, he said, if you mention that damn basketball game again, you won't get any more basketball games. So I quit talking about it. He wasn't a drug addict, and he spoke intelligently. So it eased some of the concern. But in addition to this, for the whole 5 or 6 hours, I'd talked to the Lord about Peggy and about the boys. And I said, I know you know a lot of this, Lord, but there are things I want to tell you about each one of them that I want you to take care of. I was really never afraid.
Weren't you panicked at any time?
No, because when he put the gun in my head, I said, Lord, I'm going to hand this over to you because I can't handle this kind of situation. So I really never was. So anyway, finally, Dad said he had the money, and this was after about 4 hours. So he told Dad where to bring it. It was clear out on 131st Street, and there was a culvert there about half a mile east of 75. Clear out west in Tulsa, where 75 goes on down to Okmulgee. Of course, I'm in the back seat. We go out, and he stops at this place. I don't know where it is, of course. I can hear him opening the trunk, and I can feel the car go down. These two sacks probably weighed 70 pounds. And when he put them in the trunk, you could kind of feel the car go down. So I knew he had the money. We drive off a little way. He said, I'm going to let you up. And he stopped, came around. I could hear him opening the back seat. And he kind of dragged me out because my feet were that way, and he just kind of dragged me out, pulled me out on the road. And that was when I knew that that was probably the end. I mean, you know, I presumed that's when he had just... So I just laid there. It seemed like an eternity.
You laid there expecting
Yeah. Then all of a sudden I heard this door slam. And you know, if you start your car fast enough, these tires screeching. So he was gone. Here I am. I was taped, duct tape. So I tore it off my feet, still had it on my hands. And then I remembered I had a knife in my pocket. Oh, and the first thing I didn't do, I had my glasses in my pocket. And I thought, do I have time to get my glasses on to see if I can identify the car, or should I just tear this off my face? Well, by the time I tore all that tape off my face with my hand, I couldn't read the license plate. Couldn't even tell what color it was, really. But I got my feet loose. I had to go to the bathroom, so I walked over in the woods, still with my hands tied, and got this knife out of my pocket, got the blade open. I've seen in TV where you put the blade in a crack someplace, and then you can saw the... Every time I'd do that, the blade would fold up. So I couldn't. Then I heard this car coming, because I was only 10 feet off the road. And so I saw this old truck coming. I jumped out into the street, right in the middle of the street. It was just a little road. It got closer. I could see this woman's eyes just getting bigger. She had to either hit me or stop. So she stopped, and I said, ma'am, don't worry. I've been kidnapped, and I want you to help me. I said, would you let your son cut my hands loose? And she said, well, yes. So I walked around to his window, gave him a knife. And as he's cutting the duct tape off, she said, well, is there something I can do for you? Can I help you some way? And I said, yeah, if you'd call my wife and tell her I'm fine, I'd really appreciate it. So she took down the number. Two or three FBI guys were with her at the house with Peggy. So this woman called her right away and told her I was fine. I can hear the traffic on 75 because it was less than a half mile away. It was 5 o'clock then. He'd picked me up at 9. You know how you can hear traffic. I mean, it's noisy. So I walk out to the road, and I'm standing there looking, and there's just one car after another because it's 5 o'clock. And all of a sudden, I look over to the left, and here's this car moving slowly towards me. I thought, oh, my God. And he does have somebody else. So I was going to run out into the street. And there were so many cars coming so fast, I knew I would cause an accident, them trying to miss me. And this guy sticks his hand out the window and says, FBI, Mr. Elmer.
Oh.
And I'll never forget that. So these two guys pick me up. Thank goodness, I said, do you know? They said, well, we think we know who it is. We have his house tagged up because the car he used was the same license plate, so we have his house surrounded, and we're tapping the phone. And they said, well, we'll tell you one interesting thing. He called his wife and said, honey, we're going to have that swimming pool we've always wanted. I'll be home soon. So they take me to my house. The game was at 6, and this was about 5:30, and I get home. Zach and Hans were the only ones there. John O was up in Ted Owens' basketball camp, and they had sent an FBI guy up there, dressed him out in gym clothes, and he was playing basketball. Rick was getting his appendix out, and they sent an agent up in his room, and Matt was down in Florida. So they didn't bother because he was so far away. But Hans and Zach were at the house with Mother. And of course, Zach is so emotional. He's so much like Peggy. And Hans is more like me. So I knew that Zach would run up to me and Hans would probably shake hands as they did. Well, it was just the opposite. Hans ran up hugging me, Dad, are you all right? Zach said, I knew you'd get out, Dad. I wasn't worried about you. I said, well, come. We've got to go to your game. Just then the TV people come. And I said, I'm sorry, I've got to leave. So we went to his game. He played awful. And I said, after Hans, you were... He said, Dad, you were kidnapped. I said, you weren't kidnapped. It was quite an experience. The FBI then searched his house because they found three of his calling cards with the addresses of the phones he had sent me to. So they knew immediately who it was. So they go to his house, found $9,000. Well, interestingly enough, Vic Thompson had photographed part of the money that he gave. He only did a few bills. Out of $700,000, part of it was this money that Vic had photographed. So they knew it was the kidnap money, but they couldn't find any of the rest of it. It took him, and it was interesting. The FBI were the ones that had found the cards. Oklahoma has a death penalty for kidnapping. Oklahoma wanted to indict him, and the FBI said, we have all of the evidence, and we're going to indict him. His lawyer was there, and the lawyer said, well, if you'll do it under the federal law, which was the Hobbs Act, which had a maximum penalty of 20 years, we'll tell you where the money is. That was the deal they made. So they went out to the house, and a place they had looked three or four times. Here was all the money in this cabinet. So they knew someplace there was an accomplice, whether it was the wife or anyway, and she tried to commit suicide and didn't succeed. He just pleaded guilty and was given 20 years. I was asked a half a dozen times, do I want to know where he was? And I said, no. So I never knew how long he served. But it turned out he had a small company and had gone broke. Then he burned his building down. And they called it arson, so he was in trouble because of that and decided to try to get some money. He'd been at a doctor's office and read this article about me. That was how he selected me. The FBI told me something interesting. I said, well, you know, it was hard for me to identify him. They said, you know, that was a perfect disguise because the way you identify someone is their eyes. And he said, you never looked at his eyes because you were looking at those Band-Aids.
your emotions that day. Well, I mean, you sit calmly talking about it now.
But you know, it was interesting. I told all the press, and you know, it was fun. I had headlines in the Chicago paper. I said, no, I was at peace because I asked the Lord to help me, and he did. Peggy and I were invited up to Washington to meet the head of the FBI. We went up, and we visited. I said, I just want to tell you what an outstanding job your guys did. He said, well, you were very fortunate because frequently the kidnappers kill the victim. But he said, you're lucky. And I said, what do you mean I'm lucky? And he said, we've never had anyone kidnapped twice. But, you know, shortly after that, a friend of mine was kidnapped. He was put in a trunk but escaped about an hour later. But he never got over it. He put every kind of device in his house and in his car, and he died of a heart attack a year later.
So you didn't add any security?
No, I didn't do a thing.
It had to make you think cautiously after that incident.
Yeah, but I don't know that I might have gone to the office a different way a couple of times. But it just never bothered us, either one of us, Peggy or me. You can't live in fear all your life.
It must have lingered with you a week or so afterward.
I never recall it lingering. We went up to Washington and that. But as far as any fear or anything like that, I was really never afraid during this because I just kind of thought it might end up being the end. And that's why I spent the whole 8 or 9 hours talking to the Lord about it.
Maybe the boys, they could have been a target again? That didn't...
Well, years later, the FBI came up to see me. And they said, we've had a call from St. Louis, from an agent, that there's going to be an attempt to kidnap one of your boys on Halloween night. You didn't have cell phones then, but you had these walkie-talkies. And I said, I know they're going to want to go out, so I'll get them a walkie-talkie where they can keep in touch. Peggy, you are crazy. I said, there are five of them. How can anybody, you know, they're going to be all right. So they went out and nothing happened. Well, the next day the FBI called me, said the kidnapper was on his way to Tulsa. We were following him. He got to the state line and turned around and went back. They said, you know, if they cross the state line, it's a death penalty of federal law. But they said, we have a picture here of his accomplice in Tulsa, and we want to see if you... And I said, no, I've never seen this guy in my life. They said, well, take it home and see if you're... It was her shoe salesman.
Oh, my.
So the FBI met with him and said, we know that you're the accomplice. And if anything ever happens to one of those kids or to him or anybody in that family, you're getting the death penalty. And evidently scared him to death because we never heard anything after that.
Continued selling shoes?
I don't know whether he did or not. Isn't that funny?
That's a dramatic story. Wow.